going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and what a time in D.C. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am fantastic, brother. Finally saw a nice game last night.
Hell yeah,
finished
man.
Strong. Jay, you know I normally go to games. I normally end up in a suite somewhere. I sat there every period to check it out.
I bet, man.
And that was, I'm telling you, it was some exciting hockey.
It was. So
Logan Thompson? It's a bad man, bro.
He was outrageous last night. No. Now, he did clarify the one that looked like just an outrageous save. He said it actually hit the post, and he was worried he was going to knock it in, which he didn't, obviously. He was
excellent. Man, they're giving you credit. Take that. Hell, they know why it hit the post? Because they were trying to squeeze it in there, and you had too much. You had closed it off on them so much.
Yeah, I mean, that was – so I was down there for – like the first period, basically, and then I had to head to the studio. But it was such a palpable energy. And then, obviously, the game was just was awesome. Yeah. I thought that game was exactly what the Caps needed to get up 2-0 and really take control of this thing. I've been saying Caps at 5. I feel Caps at 5. I feel good about it.
I'll take them in 4.
Sure, I would,
I'll
too.
I'll take that. But let him relax a little bit.
Well, getting Logan Thompson back in that mode where he's just making outrageous saves and the boys are buzzing around him. They had Carl Alsner on the post game last night, and I think it was Alan May asked him, like, what does it feel like when you've got a goalie playing to that level? And he's like, everybody feels it, and it just continues to build upon itself.
You can play a little bit more aggressive, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, like, sometimes I think they get a little non-aggressive, and then all of a sudden you find out that they end up in front of Logan as well, which causes problems. When they get more aggressive, people can't just skate around and, you know, dribble the puck and do their thing. Now they have to try to be precise. And then when you got all that going on and he gets a chance to see the puck, if he see the puck leave the stick, he's blocking it.
Dude, I also think it was huge to get a win, score 3 goals, and not rely on Ovi.
Yeah.
Not that you want Ovi to score every goal. That's fine. But, you know, they got 2 from McMichael, the empty netter at the end. Strom got one. Like, it was a good game, highly functional offense. I thought they played well. Montreal's got some guts, though, man. Like, they're not giving anything away, the Canadiens. No. They're playing tough.
They go for it. I don't like Anderson.
Good.
He's just a cheap shot artist.
Yeah.
Listen, bro. Tom is probably one of the toughest dudes in the world, but he's not stupid. That dude is trying to bait him tremendously. He's not letting it happen. But I promise you, before this thing is over, my man gonna get hit in the eye.
Yeah, I mean he gonna
leave with a little look like a raccoon. I'm telling you.
It seems like you could tell Willie's getting frustrated in spots, but at the same time, they really try to shut down the fighting in the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes. But what I remember in these playoff series,
if you knock him out in 4, right, that would be enough for me.
Right.
But if you have to just whoop his ass just to make sure he don't try nothing ever again, that'd be okay too.
In these playoff series, there's always some dude you come to hate.
Yeah.
Because they're playing, you know, a number of games night after night. So game three is going to be Friday night in Montreal. We won't be there. We'll be watching, excited. I think Carolina is kind of rolling the Devils. The Devils kind of stink. I think it'd be really good for Washington to more or less keep pace with the Hurricanes so that the Canes don't get a bunch of extra rest or something. I think Friday night in the Bell Center could be pretty rough. I'd like them to come back with a split from these two games, win it at home Wednesday night, and then all's well. And we're on to Carolina in my mind. Also couldn't help. So last night was just an incredible Caps game, a ton of fun. Mike Vogel from Capitals.com is going to join us at 10:30 to break down all the action. I was there. You were there. I was there early, right? Like, because I had a live hit at 4. Mm-hmm. So I was in the arena at like 3:30.
Woo.
And I noticed, maybe 3:45, I noticed the Commanders logo up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a photo of it. I'm like, huh? Like, something. And I was texting with somebody that I knew all the players were in town because OTAs are going on,
yeah,
the voluntary portion. And I was texting with somebody that was telling me they were going to the Nats game. And I was like, all right, you know, going to the Nats game would be cool.
Nah.
And then I'm like, wait a second. The logo's up here in the arena. Like, and they had, you know how with all the signage and everything, they have every logo. Like, they can put that logo on everything. They do it with the Caps. They do it with the Wiz. And I was like, they're coming here tonight. And then.
The researcher had found that early.
What's that?
Amit.
Oh.
He was like, you know, Jaden and what's coming?
Yeah, he saw it from my tweet. That's how he found it.
He was researching.
Yeah, I'm sure. But so then when you know that little element of it, and then look, man, last night was about the Caps. It wasn't about the Commanders being there. But the vibe of the Commanders being there, of Jaden Daniels being on the ice, going nuts the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, standing up, banging on the glass, wearing the Ovi sweater. Yeah. It was dope. And you see the video of Hartman chugging the beer?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hey, I loved it, dude.
I didn't see the video. I was looking right at him while he was chugging it. And then,
how did you not go down there and chug beers?
Well, the thing about I was chugging vodka. So I saw earlier.
You had a head start with that. I saw Pet Quarter Sports Tavern pink drink, whatever that was.
Ooh, boy, I don't know. It was strong. I saw Dieter. Who else was walking with him? Biotis.
Dude.
Cosme.
A ton of them.
I was hanging all them, and then they had the 24-ounce beers that were looking like they were 10-ounce cans in their hands. They had their crew, and then I walk in and I saw the quarterbacks over there, and I called
Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Say, Charlie. Say, you're working tonight, aren't you? He said, man, yeah. They had to get some security guards out there, too, at one point.
I think, if I had to guess, Chuck was enjoying that assignment.
Oh, it was fun,
because he's a hardcore hockey guy. They were on the glass for a playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
So there was one. I predicted Cosme as my beer-chugging champ. There was one video that emerged. Listen, Hartman did really good with the beer chug. But he's still a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the old lineman just got more space to put it down.
But the fact that the quarterback does it, that says a lot.
Hell yeah.
Now, I would say this. Shotgun it next time.
No, they serve it to you open. In the arena,
it's a way to steal. You can turn it a little sideways slightly, and you turn it sideways with the hole up. Then you stick the hole in here, and then you go with it, dog.
Beamish,
I'm from Louisiana, baby. We figure it what
has put down the shotgun the beer challenge. The best chugging beer video is of the O-line. I saw this from the Caps account. It was Cosme, Dieter, and Allegretti just chugging.
Oh, yeah.
And Biotis just kind of there cheering them on. Something tells me Biotis probably had already finished it. Like, I doubt he was just cheering them on.
Oh, yeah, well, he was going down the hallway. Yeah, yeah.
Now
he said, man, I heard your voice, B, but I didn't see you. I made sure.
I do have, I've said this before, and people say I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, if you look, there's a big picture. I retweeted, the Commanders put it out. It's also just so great, the amount of cohesion and synergy between, let's be real, because the Caps and the Wiz are owned by Leontsis, the Nats are owned by the Lerners, but the teams in the city during the Snyder era had a lot more cohesion than the Skins did. Out in, like, it was that divide between downtown to Ashburn during the Snyder era was pretty significant. And I'm not sure how well everyone got along.
Well,
that's all changed.
Let's be real, man. Just look at the way people act.
Right.
And that's how the team would act. Right now, you don't see that pompousness going on.
Totally.
With the people up top. So you're going to see that. Listen, and these players enjoy it. They enjoy the other sports.
Totally.
As you said, Jaden was losing his mind on ice. You watch him the whole time. He wasn't just at the game. Like, a guy asked me, I was actually going to say, how do you watch a game? I say, you might not want to be too close to me. Because I say, I hit people, I high five, I lose my voice after a game. And I know I hit Ahmed one time last night. I don't know if I caught him in the shoulder. But, dog, when something exciting happened, I show excitement.
Sure.
You know, and especially saw all those guys did the same thing.
Live hockey, it's impossible not to kind of respond.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Looking at what I think is the big group picture, the guys I recognize is obviously Jaden, Mariota, Hartman, Allegretti, Luke McCaffrey, Cosme, Sennett. Sennett was a high school hockey player. Like, he loves hockey. So mm-hmm. I was glad he got to be there. Wiley's there, Dieter, just a bunch of guys really enjoying themselves. I love that they got some jerseys for the boys, a lot of the OV Screaming Eagles jerseys, some of the red ones. It looked like Sennett actually went and bought an OV t-shirt. Maybe they were provided. Regardless, it was just an awesome night.
Yes.
Jaden was throwing footballs into the crowd.
All of them. All three of them threw it.
Dude, I've said this before, and everybody scoffs at me. Look at Luke McCaffrey right there in the middle. See him?
Yeah.
Dude, Stallion. They look a lot alike, man.
Hey,
Ryan Clary.
He way smoother than Stallion, though.
Of course. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying they look a lot alike, dude. I can't get away from it. It's bizarre. So it was so cool to see the Caps win like that. Now, I predicted 4-1. They won 3-1. No big deal. Didn't somebody have a Strom goal? Was that you, Landfill?
No, it's me.
You had Strom?
Yeah.
There you go. You predicted that one.
I took it off of Landfill from the other day.
Landfill might have had a Carlson point, I believe. Regardless, man, it was an awesome win. They are clearly in the driver's seat. Up 2-0, going to Montreal. Come back with a split. Finish it in game 5. We're on to Carolina. And that's where my brain is at.
Mm.
But it was really fun, I think, to have the Caps win on a night that was about the Caps, but to have the Burgundy and Gold there supporting them going into draft weekend. And the players, honestly, the players that were there last night, they're not worried about the draft. Like, they're under contract, they're chilling, they're working out. But today, we're going to talk some Caps, but then we're going to go heavy-duty draft because this is it, man. Like we've made it to the finish line. All the pre-draft stuff that we hear forever and months and months and months and months is done. They're going to make picks today.
They're going to make them.
And I'm so ready for it. We're going to have Diana Rossini join the show at noon. Charles Davis from NFL Network at 1. We'll get all the rumors. We'll get all the players and just real ideas of what's going to happen. And I had a buddy of mine that produces a show for NBC Sports, does one of the football shows. And he's like, best guess what happens tonight for the Commanders. And I honestly think Adam Peters gave an answer yesterday where he talked about, you know, trading up, trading back, all of those things are on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think anybody that thinks that these decisions come down to kind of the last second is incorrect. But they're going to have like a moving range of guys they have available. And then they're going to say they'll have 5, 10, 15 guys they really like, right? Mm-hmm. And as the board gets closer to them, that board will update. And then they're going to have what they think are options about moving back or moving up. And then they cross-check that with how many of the guys they like. If you go back and look at last year's draft, when they made the decision to trade out of the Cooper DeJean pick to go with moving back, getting more picks, and then taking Samardzija,
mm-hmm.
they don't move out of DeJean, a corner they liked and could have drafted. They don't move out of that unless they firmly believe Samardzija is going to be there when they move back.
Totally.
And, like, that's what you got to keep in mind. None of this is...
They are talking back and forth with each other. That, listen, teams that they have in front of, they're like, are you going to take so-and-so? You know, they work with each other. In a sense, yes, they're competing. But on draft day, they know who they want. The other teams that are around them know who they want. And they're just making sure you're not taking this guy. And there are guys that are working in the front offices that are friends. They can trust what the person says. Not like you're going to say, hey, man, we want Samardzija. You're not going to take him, right? Nah, I'm not going to take him. Then they're going to take him. You know, if they're not friends with him, they're not letting the person know who the hell they're taking.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I think people get confused. But the reality, I mean, you've played it and lived it. I have worked it for a long time now. The reality in the NFL is just like your regular life. Like, if you're in sales and you do, I don't know, software sales, a lot of your relationships drive your business. Like, if your best friend from college works for some firm that you like, yo, I think I got a pretty good in here, I'm going to go talk to him, and then you're able to make a big-ass sale, it's relationship-driven.
Totally.
These dudes, when they are able to have conversations with other people on other teams, like... The needs of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Commanders are quite different. And if there's a relationship there, you can have a real understanding. What are you thinking? Here's what we're thinking. Nobody's helping each other, but you can also not actively try to hurt one another.
You know, this is what it is, Jay. Fans feel like that everyone has to hate the other opposing team. But what do fans do? You see fans... walking in with the fans from the other team, they're buddies. You know, yes, you don't like the team, but you're not going to dislike your buddy just because he cheers for that team. And the same thing happens with the people in the NFL. You want to make your team the absolute best. But you also have a friend on the other team that you know won't try to stab you in the back if something is going on.
Right.
You know, and that's how it is. I think fans have to stop having this mindset that they have to hate. The other people have to hate everybody. You don't hate everybody. You know what I mean? If you don't hate everybody from the other team, you shouldn't expect anybody else to do it. That's what you act like when you're talking about somebody else. But I sit back and I watch some people that are the most rabid fans out there walk out with their boy from the other team, high-five and having a beer together. It's life, man. Relationships runs life. Yeah. Runs life. Not just the damn... people you're cheering for.
And you see it tonight. And you know what the Commanders do an awesome job of is it takes a little while because it's a heavy edit, but they put out, I think it's called Commander's Log, where they'll have all the behind-the-scene footage from draft night. Like, the video for tonight won't come out for probably a couple of weeks or whatever. Yeah. But, like, if you go back and watch the one from last year with AP negotiating that deal with Howie Roseman from the Eagles and Howie just, like, continuously trying to get him to go higher with his comp, and AP just won't budge. Like, those are the moments you realize, like, all right, clearly, like, it's just a good illustration for everyone to understand. Clearly, there was the framework of a possible deal should X, Y, and Z occur, right? Because they don't land at exactly three picks for one out of nowhere. But then at the last minute, they try to alter it, and you got to either stick to your guns or make a decision. And it's just there's a lot of conversations that have already happened going into tonight that will allow tonight to be hella interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing capture the first hour, then all draft the rest of the afternoon. Opening the phone lines at 11 for your predictions for tonight. Nobody go anywhere. Mike Vogel joins us next. It's B. Mitch and Finley. It's draft day. It's caps day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We are very excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in Mike Vogel, Vogue's Caps, on social media. Vogue's, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
How you doing, JP? B. Mitch?
What's up, man?
We're great, dude. B was at the game. I was there for the first period and had to roll. That atmosphere last night was awesome. Caps start the playoffs up 2-0 going to Montreal. What do you think of how this start to the playoffs is going?
I mean, the results are certainly good. You want to be up 2-0 going on the road. You protected home ice. Montreal can't win the series without winning a game in Washington. So, obviously, you're in good shape as far as that goes. My worry is that just kind of the way the two games have played out. I thought the Caps in both of those games had the better play for the first 40 minutes and just didn't have enough to show for it. They had 2-0 lead after 40 in the first game and 2-1 last night. And Montreal stormed at them both games in the third period, midway through in game one and kind of throughout last night. And Logan Thompson obviously delivered last night. He was the difference in the win. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty pleased with the way they're playing defense. But, you know, credit to Montreal, too, because a young team, they were certainly deer in the headlights for the first 20 minutes of game one, but they seem to have settled in, and they're playing for such a young team with such a young blue line core, playing really good defense and making it tough. You look at the goals that are scored in this series, they're all just greasy, dirty goals from in front. The only one that was an absolute, like, rocket snipe from distance was the first one, and that's, you know, Alex Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer of all time, from his office. So it's playoff hockey. That is what we're seeing, but it's definitely a little tighter defensively than I was expecting going into the series between these two teams.
Mike, what is it about, like, the Caps sometimes? They get down in their zone, and they just can't clear the puck. And I watched Montreal last night. Every time they get stuck, they flip it over the top. The Caps always try to pass it low, and for some reason, Montreal gets a stick on it every damn time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part of the game, Beamish, is just getting out of your own end and doing it cleanly, because the best defense is good offense. You just want to be at the other end of the ice, make them play defense. And again, I think they've done a decent job of that for the first 40 minutes of both games, probably the first 50 minutes of game one. But, you know, Montreal's got a couple of really skilled young forwards on their top line. Their top line is incredibly dangerous. It was one of the best lines in the league over the last third, I would say, of the season. And so, and Spencer Carberry was talking about it yesterday morning. Like, these guys are young, they're kids, and so they can stay out on the ice longer. They can, if they get in your zone and they have the puck, they won't go to the bench and change. They'll just keep putting the heat on you. They got a lot of stamina. And you typically need to change while you're in your defensive zone. If you could pull that off, that's pretty much impossible to do in the second period. You might be able to do it in the first or third. But I honestly think that their breakouts, the Caps breakouts, that's what you're talking about, getting out of your own end of the other.
Yeah.
Have been pretty efficient for the most part. They looked a lot cleaner and crisper than they did toward the end of the season. So I'm okay. You're never going to get out 100% of the time untouched, unscathed. The other team's their whole MO is to try to swarm you, and you know that's what a whole playoff series is trying to make. You know, you're investing. Every shift is an investment. Hit every guy that you can. Make them skate as much as you can. Make them feel the pressure. Make them be under siege in their own end. If it doesn't pay off on this particular shift, the theory is it'll pay off a game or two later. Every little bit takes its toll over the best of best of seven series.
Talking with our friend Mike Vogel here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Vogues a follow at Vogues Caps, V-O-G-S Caps. All right, so we kind of got to something I wanted to ask you about. The top line for Montreal is playing what seems to me just a ton of minutes and these really long shifts. You mentioned the stamina and that they're younger guys, but over the course of I'm hoping it's a five-game series, but like over the course of night after night, could they get gassed? Like, how odd is the way Montreal is going about playing their top line that much more?
Well, it's kind of unusual, JP. Actually, I wrote about this yesterday and looked around the league. There's three teams out west that kind of operate that way, where they'll just, if their top line gets possession in the offensive zone, they'll say, hey, you go ahead. You're on your own, freelance. Do whatever you do. Minnesota's one of them. They have four of the top five guys in terms of average shift length. So Minnesota, Colorado, Edmonton, they've got Dreisaitl and McDavid. It's easy for them to do it. Most other teams, and the Caps are a great example of this, they've got more depth. So they're able to trust their lines below that top line. And you saw last night, Montreal down one goal going into the third period. They shortened their bench. They had three players that hardly played. One of them didn't play at all in the third period. A couple other guys got next to nothing in the way of shifts. And the guy who sat on the bench is Patrick Laine, who's one of the most dangerous goal scorers in the league, but he's just had a brutal two games so far. So Martin Saint-Louis parked him, and even in a one-goal game, thought that the risk of him turning a puck over or doing something, you know, that would hurt the team was higher than the probability of him tying the game. So, I mean, that's an amazing calculation to make on a player of his caliber. I think he was second or third player taken overall in the draft several years ago. But it's unusual, and to my knowledge, they're pretty much the only team in the Eastern Conference that has that sort of feature to their lineup. And I honestly think that in a year or two, they won't need to do that. They'll have developed more of their talent that's coming up. This is a team that's been in a rebuild for a few years, and nobody really expected them to get into the playoffs this year. So I think their coach is just trying to maximize their time here. They're underdogs, obviously, coming in, and I think they played great. I think they've really surprised people with the way they played, but I think he's just doing everything he can to kind of deliver them a win. If you think about where they are, similar to where the Caps were last year, same number of points, 91 points, 8 seed, sneaking in on the last night of the season. The sort of poorest puck possession team of the field of 16. So, you know, the odds are not great when you have all that attached to you. But just the experience of getting in is going to do them well. And they're not out of the series by any means either. But, you know, last year the Caps were able to get guys like Connor McMichael, Alexei Protas, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They were able to get them those four games against the Rangers. Didn't win any of them, but at least you know going in this year what that experience is like and how fast-paced playoff hockey is.
Totally. It's funny because I look at that similar to last year where the Caps had the negative goal differential. Well, this year Montreal has a negative goal differential. They just got hot kind of late in the season. I find this Canadiens team, honestly, like kind of easy to like. Like they're just a plucky young guys. I want the Caps to mow them down in this series, but just kind of in general. You mentioned Protas there, though. What is the latest there? We know Ferravari's out. Obviously, dude, it freaked me out last night when it looked like LT got cut on the hand. I was like, how many skate cuts can this team handle in a month? But LT stayed in, was obviously great. What is the latest with Protas, though, coming back? When do you think that could happen?
I mean, it's hard to say. They're being really tight. I mean, they're typically tight, close to the vest with this sort of stuff. But it's even more so. Like you ask Spencer Carberry about it yesterday, and he's like, well, you'll see it at warmups. I don't think he wants to give the opposing coach any ammunition, and they're operating the same way. They're not discussing lineup alterations or tweaks with the media very much either. So I would expect. I mean, he has been on the ice. He has been skating. My hunch is he's going to need a practice or two before they are sure that he's going to be able to get out there. Now, I don't know schedule-wise here. Like, today is going to be very optional. I'm sure he'll go out and take a twirl for a few minutes today before we get on the plane to go to Montreal. And then there's a morning skate before the game tomorrow. There's a practice scheduled for Saturday, whether that actually comes off or not. Lots of times this time of year, practice just gets turned into an optional affair.
Right.
Guys are, rest is a weapon too. So I would say there's a little gap here, and who knows how this thing plays out. If it's going to be 4, 5, 6, or 7 games yet, we don't know. But there's a gap here after game 4. There's an extra day. So I would think that the way this is going to work is, after game 4, if the series is still going, the game 4 is on Sunday. Monday would be a day off. Tuesday is probably a practice day. So if Protas can get out on the ice for that full practice day and he looks okay, I could see him coming back for whatever's remaining of this series, or if this series is over, then maybe the next one. But that's honestly just a hunch. I do think the way they've typically operated, and it was the same with LT when he was trying to come back. He had a couple of practices, and then even then, we did not know until game time,
right,
of game 1, who the starting goalie was going to be.
If they get the LT from last night for the next 6 weeks or so,
it could go a real long way.
He's been Holtby-esque
far.
So.
Hey, folks, thanks for making time for us,
appreciate
dude.
You,
really appreciate it. Safe travels up north.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Hi, bro.
All right, Mike Vogel from the WashingtonCapitals.com. Check him out at Vogue's Caps, V-O-G-S. A lot of great info. Just a great dude. Fun to talk to. Coming up at 11, we shift to the NFL draft. All the boys make their predictions for tonight, if it's a pick or if it's a trade. Then we're going to open the phone lines, let you make your picks, your trade predictions. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without even leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, it was hard. I thought the first two periods we controlled the play, and they really didn't have much. So credit for the guys for that. And we knew they were going to come out in the third just like they did last game. And, it's easy to get into it when you make those saves. You're definitely right back into the game. I mean, could easily swing the other way, and a couple of those go in, and you're fighting it, right? So, luckily things went my way tonight, and we got the 2 points.
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Everybody enjoy the Caps game last night. Jeffrey, you watched Caps? Good to see you, bud.
What's up, JP? Yes, I did, man. They got to stop giving us those heart attacks in the third period.
It was a little like when Montreal pulled the goalie late.
Yeah,
bruh. Yo, and they couldn't get the puck out.
In that position, I watch other teams. They just say, okay, I'm going to flip it over the top.
And they kept trying.
Bruh. Oh, man, I just like, I'm throwing it all the way back to the ice.
Yeah, it was
to the glass. I mean,
it was very much a relief almost when McMichael
when they scored.
Yeah,
woo! Thank you.
Now, they had a couple good chances to get up 3-1 anyway. Like early, they had a couple shorties that they just missed.
Yeah.
Landfill tells us, though, according to the Las Vegas odds makers, the Caps are now minus 1,300 to beat the Habs, to beat the Canadiens.
Minus 1,300 there, Landon?
Vegas likes Washington.
I don't think you want to bet on that one.
That is not a bet
for
me.
That's hard to win money.
Yo, White Brian, see if you can get 20 cents worth of action at minus 1,300 and tell me what you would win. I imagine it's
not
what,
much.
What do they used to call them? Hay pennies? Like when they used to have a quarter.
You won't win much.
A shilling? Well, White Brian out here winning shillings. Kurt Schillings. I think the Caps look good for this one. Caps at 5. I am very, very amped up for. Remember the Hurricanes game? I don't know. 2 weeks ago? Right before the end of the season, when Carolina dropped 7 on them and there were like 100 fistfights,
mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of energy in the building for Caps Canes. A lot of energy.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever, I know I'm not supposed to look ahead, but I suppose I am.
Yeah.
But I think it's time for us anyway. LT played awesome last night. It was so cool to see all the Commanders players there. I'm in draft mode. Are you in draft mode? Because it's draft mode for me.
You know what? I think I have enough memory in this thing right here where I could be in draft mode and hockey playoff mode. But I could pause it just a little bit for the hockey playoff. I got till tomorrow night?
Yeah, till tomorrow night.
I'll be back in tomorrow night, yeah.
I'll
probably work until late tonight, so I'm kind of hoping that they get a he got elbow in the head. I didn't see that.
Do you have to do you have to work until they make the pick?
I'm doing an early show we'll get there at 5, and then we're on the clock show, and then we'll probably do some little talk afterwards. So,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you what time we'll get out of there tonight. I'm
going
to have to call my man over. I'm going to have to call Glenn over at DC Prime and see if he can send some food over there. Send us some steaks, Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the guys on the other half of that media trailer. I think Washington's pick will come down tonight around 11:10:45.
Yeah, that's probably my normal time though, Jay. I can float till 12:30 with no problem.
Well, so if they make the 29th pick, they're probably gonna pick around 10:45. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't start the first round at 7:00, honestly. But
what time is it?
Eight.
You know why?
Just because
they gotta promote everything and they don't People want to know everything. Listen, man, all the fans want to know the last-minute tidbits. They want to know what all the guys think. Did they make any changes?
Sure.
Oh, wow, what's the new thing that happened?
Right.
They don't care. If the NFL can push it to 8:15, 8:30, they'll do that.
Push it till 10. People will watch. Speaking of promoting stuff, Saturday night, 7:00 on NBC4, I'm going to have a live draft recap show. We're going to go over everything they've done, all the players. We'll have a ton of interviews with the new
Saturday
players.
Drafted.
Yeah, Saturday at 7. You want to join me?
At Amin's party, at Sheikah's party.
I'm coming after.
Oh, wow.
I should be there around 8.
Yeah, all right.
What? I think it starts at 7.
I don't think you want me to join your show if I'm going to be at that place.
Well, you playing golf during the day?
No, I got to go to the draft party over at the wharf.
Where is it? Harbor?
Yeah.
Is it at the wharf or
the
National Harbor?
Harbor. I got to remember, Harbor is Maryland, wharf is D.C.
Dog, I almost made a big mistake when I had to go cover that Caps event at the Harbor.
Oh, you did make a mistake.
I got on the Beltway going to Virginia, and then I realized they meant the Georgetown Harbor, not National Harbor. I will probably see you over there. Do we know who all's coming to the draft party yet? Is that information out there?
No. I don't know about the players. They didn't even say it last year.
Last year, I think they had some current players go, not the draft.
We have, I know me and Tanner. I don't know anything else.
Okay. On the website, it says.
Me and my partner in crime. Yeah, we showing up.
2025 NFL Draft Legends, which would be you and Tanner. Live entertainment, exclusive giveaways, activities, and more.
More could be anybody.
Certainly. But, dude, this to me is another example of the marketing team not running the football operation anymore. They used to get the first round pick. Back in the day, this would all be at FedEx, and they would get the first round pick to the party on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Just the logistics of that, it's not making it easy on the kid you just drafted.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Jay?
Not to say they can't do it.
It's easy because they fly him in a private jet. They got limo service everywhere. He chilling.
I get it. But by promising that and making it this giant fan event, I think this is a much better. Have a draft party.
Yeah, I mean, if you draft somebody and the guy like, man, let's hang out.
Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you don't,
but don't
have
force
to,
it up on
right, them. Exactly. Yeah. And like the fans that are into a draft party are going to be super fired up to see you and Tana.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they draft an offensive lineman from Iowa State, most fans won't know who that is.
They'll know by the time the morning comes.
All right. Buckle up, everybody. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Me, B, Professor Landini, White Brian, and Jeffrey are all going to tell you what we think happens tonight. Then you tell us what you think happens tonight. B. Mitchell Finley, it's draft day, baby.